Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno was a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno was elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Welcome to the Viking Age podcast. It's the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad. I am a writer for Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, the managing editor of the Viking Age. And we do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss an episode. We can spread the word to the masses. Today, you know, we are a little earlier. This will probably be our normal time on Mondays just because, you know, usually by the time we go on at 6 o'clock, people have heard from so many people that, you know, sometimes they have overload, I guess is what we want to say. But
and I have time now because, you know, yeah, kids are at school.
Adam doesn't have kids at home anymore, so right. He can do it a little bit earlier.
During the day, they do come back.
They do come back. Unfortunately, they do. They show up, and then they want food, and, you know,
they keep them alive.
It's a little difficult from there.
Yeah.
So we're also going to do our recap shows a little differently than we did the last couple of years because odds are you've already seen the game. You've heard people talk about the game. You know what happened for the most part. So we decided that we're going to list some overreactions to week one, and then we're going to actually decide whether we're overreacting or we're not overreacting. So I don't know. It could be fun. It could be ass. I don't know. You got to try some things differently, and maybe this will make for a better show. So if you have an overreaction, drop them in the comments. Adam and I will go back and forth, and hey, let's get this going because we got a victory to discuss. The Minnesota Vikings defeating the New York Giants on Sunday. Who wants to go first here? Do you want to go first with your overreaction, or should I?
What the heck? I'll go first.
All right. Kick off the new era.
All right. The Vikings got a win on Sunday over the Giants in their 100-year-old uniforms or whatever they were wearing. I think I saw somebody wrote that like they were a mix of they were like if Michigan and the Montreal Canadiens had a baby and that's what it would turn out to be. But enough of that. But my overreaction is that this will be Brian Flores' final season with the Vikings. Minnesota's defense was outstanding yesterday. They only allowed the Giants to score 6 points, probably only 3 points if CJ Ham doesn't fumble on that second drive deep in the Vikings' own territory there. They held the Giants to just 3.5 yards per play. They had five sacks. They picked off two passes, including a pick six. I know people will say, like, oh, it's just the Giants, but against a bad team like the Giants, that's how a good defense should look. We've seen in the past where maybe the Vikings play down to a level of a team that's should be worse than them. That wasn't the case yesterday. They just took advantage of the Giants offense and the struggles of Daniel Jones, which I just saw, I think it was the New York Post headline, which was Daniel groans. So good work there.
They always get some bangers, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I think the Vikings will finish. I've seen some people say they're going to finish top five defense after yesterday. I'm still going to say top 10 because I think maybe that's an overreaction. But I think it'll lead to Brian Flores probably getting a head coaching job elsewhere next year. And I think the Jets could be a possible landing spot since he's from Brooklyn. So
I would say this could be an overreaction, but we don't know what the rest of the NFL thinks of Brian Flores. So in a vacuum, if the Vikings become a top 10 defense and they win games through their defense, like, I know the Vikings had 28 points on Sunday and they looked pretty good, but they're going to rely on their defense to win games. It's going to be Brian Flores getting the most out of that group and keeping them in games where the offense doesn't have to put up 40 points or whatever to win games. So if Brian Flores is able to do that, and that's how the Viking season turns out, he should be interviewed for head coaching. He should be considered. I was trying to think of the word that right. I wanted to use there. If the NFL is still upset about his lawsuit, if they, you know, have a couple of issues with that, I could see him not getting a head coaching job. And plus, you know, Tua coming out on Dan Lebatard's show and saying, oh man, he was a terrible person and he hurt me and all that. I mean, that doesn't really help. So no. We just saw Mike Zimmer basically bury his own career, right, or at least as far as a head coach goes, because he looked like a damn good defensive coordinator on Sunday. I think that he's going to get some interviews, but I'm not so sure he's going to get a head coaching job. He absolutely should if the Vikings defense played like it did on Sunday all year long. But there's this politics behind it, which sucks. It sucks for him, but
it's every job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing with Flores and the difference between him and Zimmer is I think Flores is actually like working towards improving himself and making himself better as an overall coach in person. And I feel like, unlike Zimmer, he's learned probably from what happened with Tua and the Dolphins, and he's had a chance to work with a team like the Steelers and Mike Tomlin and now the Vikings and Kevin O'Connell. I think having, you know, Kevin O'Connell and Mike Tomlin in your corner is pretty good if you're looking for a head coaching job. So I think it'll be interesting. I think it just really depends on the team too. I think going to a team maybe with an established quarterback, I don't know if that would be the Jets or somewhere else, would probably be best for him instead of, you know, taking a chance on a rookie. Or maybe he wants to, you know, kind of do the old Zimmer philosophy where they get a rookie or a cheap veteran and just build the defense and go that way. So it'll be an interesting offseason for sure. But the NFL lawsuit definitely will play a part. But I don't know. I feel like if it was as serious as maybe from preventing him from getting jobs, I don't know if he'd even be in the league right now. But he's been in the league ever since. He got hired a few weeks after he filed the lawsuit. So maybe we're thinking it makes too much of an impact there, but we could be wrong too. So, all right, your turn.
All right. My overreaction: Kwesi Nomics dominated week one, won the day, because in a lot of ways, this Vikings roster is built a lot smarter than it was maybe a year or two ago. A lot of people were like, Danielle Hunter, you want to let him walk out the door? 16 and a half sacks. Not really sure about that. Well, he's making $24.5 million per year. He had one pressure against Indianapolis. I think maybe he had a sack, but he had one pressure, one game. That might be an overreaction in its own right. But let's look at some of the guys the Vikings added this offseason. Andrew Van Ginkel, $10 million. He had a sack. He had a pick six. He flew all around the field, and he just downright looked awesome on Sunday. Mm-hmm. You had Dallas Turner. Dallas Turner had a sack. He's making $3.9 million AAV. Miss all those day three draft picks after Sunday, but, you know, I think Dallas Turner is going to be a good player. Jonathan Grenard didn't have a sack, but he had five quarterback pressures. The Vikings defense pressured Daniel Jones on 40% of his dropbacks on Sunday. And I haven't even mentioned Patrick Jones, who had two sacks in a reserve role. He was flying around the field. So if you combine all of those guys, I think I added Patrick Jones in this in my article for zone coverage today. That's $34 million that the Vikings spent on their edge rusher room for four players. Houston Texans got one player and one pressure on Sunday. But that's not even the start of it. Let's go down to Atlanta. Let's check on our friend Kirk Cousins.
Who's down there? Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Let's check on our friend Kirk Cousins, making a cool $45 million this year. He threw a pick in the first quarter and every Viking fan said, I know exactly what's going to happen in this game, because he went, Notre Dame, Michigan. And at the end of the game, he throws an interception when the Falcons have a chance to take the lead. The Falcons defense holds the Steelers to the field goal. They did their job. Kirk Cousins comes out. He's got no timeouts, down by 8 points. The first play he does, check down, 7-yard out route, gets tackled in bounds. Tick, 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 tick. Second play, spike. Third play, TJ walks, sack, game over. Meanwhile, Sam Darnold's over the Meadowlands. Yeah, yeah, it sounds pretty familiar, doesn't it? Sam Darnold is in the Meadowlands. He's throwing for 208 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception. He has a higher PFF grade than Patrick Mahomes after 1 week. And I was told this franchise was not going to survive Kirk Cousins leaving. Welcome to the rookie quarterback window, folks, because I say this loosely because J.J. McCarthy is injured. But if you need something, you don't have to trade down 15 times and get 17 seventh round draft picks to go fill it. You can say, hey, we need a cornerback. Here's Stephon Gilmore. Let's sign him. He's the seventh graded cornerback after week one. Hey, maybe we can let a guy like Danielle Hunter walk, replace him with a bunch of players, and make our team, huge concept, even better. So looking at everything, Kwasi-Namics dominated week one. And I feel like Kevin O'Connell should have given him a game ball on Sunday.
I mean, yeah, he only gave up five on Sunday, and I thought that was very small amount for Kevin O'Connell. So maybe they're reducing that as well.
I've heard it's been a little tougher with training camp and stuff. So maybe he's like, all right, we're peeling back the game ball. He's slowly going to morph into like an offensive Mike Zimmer. Just soon he's not even going to talk to him.
As far as overreactions goes, I don't think that's an overreaction. I do think that the Vikings could be kicking themselves because they probably should have done all this stuff 2 years ago instead of, you know, trying to win with all the guys that they had in 2022, which they won 13 games in the regular season. But, you know, they had a rabbit's foot the whole year. And then they lost in the first round of the playoffs too. Daniel Jones and the Giants. So they got a little revenge on Sunday. But yeah, I don't think it's an overreaction at all to think that this was the right strategy this offseason, and it's paying off as it should, because you're spending money on your depth. Like with Kirk Cousins and Danielle Hunter, you got two players that were above average and cost a lot. And now with them gone, you're able to get, you know, a handful or more of players who are above average and can contribute immediately and make an impact. You know, they're not all pros, but you don't need that if you have a bunch of them on a team. You just want the overall level of your team to rise, and that's what the Vikings did. For my next over,
can I add something quick before we move on?
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah. I just want to point this out, because when you look at the Vikings compared to the Giants, you saw the different front office philosophies onto the field, because Joe Shane was on Hard Knocks that offseason one, which no general manager is ever going to do again. Because we know too much. We know how the sausage is made. And they do not look at the man behind the curtain, right? Like the Giants, you know, here's the thing with Kwasi. It's like they let all those guys walk, but they also paid their cornerstones. They paid Justin Jefferson. They paid Christian Darrisaw. There might be another extension coming within the next couple of weeks. We don't know. But Joe Shane basically looked at his team and said, well, this is Daniel Jones's team now. He got some idiot paid him $40 million. I don't know who that could be. I'm just going to build around him and then set it up for the next guy. Dude, you gave Daniel Jones the contract. You looked at Daniel Jones, his track record, his inconsistent track record, and then Brian Daboll came in, souped him up. He ran into Ed Donatell's defense twice and said, here's $40 million. That's on you, buddy. And when they sit you down for your little end of year review, they're going to bring that up. And you're going, well, I upgraded the offensive line, which allowed 5 sacks on Sunday. I upgraded the defense, which got shredded by Sam Darnold. Yeah.
And they passed on J.J. McCarthy. They passed on Michael Penix. They passed on Bo Nix. Say what you will. What are we doing? There's a cat behind me. So like, good thing they got Malik Nabers, though, because he can run a lot of routes and get some good conditioning in there. But no
one was not happy.
He was like, I did what I did. Daniel Jones did not. So yeah, good thing they got Malik Nabers, because no one can throw him the ball, and he's gonna, you know, clearly he's gonna be quiet about it.
Did you see our friend Thor Nystrom over at Fantasy Life, his prediction about the Giants?
Are they gonna win a game?
No, his prediction was that they're gonna fire Daboll and Shane, I guess it's Shane, at the end of the season and replace him with Deion Sanders, who is going to power play his way into getting his son, Shadur, who, offensive line. What am I supposed to do back there? I don't know.
Yeah, is he even good? Like, I keep hearing
he's got a hell of an arm, but
I keep hearing that he's going to be a top pick, but yeah, his leadership is lacking, and I feel like that's an important quality to have in the NFL.
Give me J.J. McCarthy over Shadur Sanders.
Oh, yes.
100%. And he also mentioned he's going to get Travis Hunter, who he's a wide receiver. I know he's a good corner, very good corner, but there was a business decision made at the end of the Nebraska blowout. And I kind of said, yeah, probably a receiver. And that's fine. He's going to make a lot of money that way. But
I don't know. I feel like Deion's closer to getting fired from Colorado before he's getting a job in the NFL.
You can't fire me. I quit.
Exactly.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry for stepping.
No. It's fine. Because the Giants, they're a historic NFL team, or they've been around for 100 years and they've had a lot of success. They've won multiple Super Bowls. But for whatever reason, I don't know if it was like an ownership switch or something happened like the last handful of years, pretty much ever since, I don't know, they drafted Daniel Jones. It's been a disaster. And they've just been trying to, I feel like they've been trying to do what the Vikings said they were doing, like a competitive rebuild, except there's no competitiveness. So, and they're trying to rebuild, but they're also trying to win so they don't get fired. It's just a weird mix. And I actually don't think Daboll and Shane are going to make it the entire season. I think they're probably going to get fired before the season's over. And I think Dable's a good coach. He's just been handed, a bag of shit, and he can't really do much with that except, smear it all over the wall. That was a little graphic.
You have kids, like, I understand.
For sure. Yeah, I definitely dealt with a scenario similar to what I just
You cleaned talked that about. Up last night, didn't you?
Yeah, no, they're not that young anymore. At least I hope they don't do that anymore. I wouldn't put it past. But all right, I'll move on to my next one, which kind of sticks with a part that you spoke about, which is Kirk Cousins is cooked. He like you mentioned, he threw for 155 yards yesterday against the Steelers in his debut with the Falcons. One touchdown, two interceptions. And like you said, he had one last shot to tie the game. And in typical Kirk Cousins fashion, he throws the ball inbounds with no timeouts left to keep the clock rolling. 14 seconds comes off the clock, and they have to spike it. And then on the next play, he takes a sack, doesn't even try to get rid of the ball, and the Falcons lose in very Kirk Cousins fashion. I think it was Hayden Winks from Underdog was tweeting this morning about how Kirk Cousins barely moved in the pocket, and he couldn't really get any, push off of his repaired Achilles. So he might not even be fully healthy. And he just wanted to get back out there just to prove whatever. So that could be a problem all season long. And I do think it will be. But all I have to say is thank you, Kwesi, for standing your ground, not letting Kevin O'Connell get his way, because re-signing Cousins would have been a huge mistake, and the Vikings are already better off without him. We just saw that. And lastly, Michael Penix will be starting in week 14 against the Vikings.
Here's what you said. You're like, the Falcons win that game if Michael Penix is a starter. And I said no, because that Steelers defense is legit. Like, defense isn't the Steelers' problem. It's their offense. Right. Where now they're getting run by Arthur Smith. They have
Justin Fields
out there.
They have nine field goals.
Yeah. Like, was it all nine field goals?
They scored.
I guess math, that would be impossible. Six. 18 divided by, yeah. Six field goals. Wow. That's
like 2000 Ravens kind of game.
Yeah. I mean, that's the way they want to play football. They're going to play. And I mean, Mike Tomlin's going to will them to nine wins. No more, no less.
Just AFC North.
They're like the Ravens. They're like the Vikings a couple years ago. Like, yep. I don't know, man. Your quarterback has a bum Achilles. Your quarterback in the future is 24, 25, and he's got two bad knees. I mean,
shoulders. I think he broke both of his shoulders too.
And I know the medical reports at the combine came back clean and everything. Seems like he's a hell of a leader and people get behind him. But a lot of the same. I actually talked to one of my beat reporter friends who covers the Vikings. And he asked another beat reporter. I'm not going to name names here, but he goes, did you see Kurt's stats? And he goes, not my problem. Not my problem anymore. So, yeah. It's definitely, I posted the picture of Edge with the red light, just like smiling evilly. That was me watching the last five, because I had switched over at the end of the Vikings game. I'm like, this one is over. I'm like, let's see how this turns out with Kirk. And
they actually showed it on the broadcast.
Yeah.
If you were watching, they switched over.
Yeah.
Because they knew what they
makes, makes me feel good that I bought Sunday tickets so they could pull the game that I wanted to see anyway.
They knew what they were doing when they were like, oh, Kirk Cousins. I think Vikings fans want to see this. But also PSA to the people that are like, he's not on our team. What? Not on our team anymore. Why are you even still talking about him or covering him? He was with the Vikings for 6 years. People care about what's going on with Kirk Cousins. Okay. Like,
and people are curious to see how that turns out.
All these people that are always like, who cares? They're not in the Vikings anymore. Don't pay attention to them. Okay. I'm going to guarantee that people were curious about what Adam Thielen did yesterday, what Stephon Diggs did yesterday. You know, Alexander Mattison had a touchdown miraculously. You know, what did KJ Osborne do yesterday? Like, people pay attention to all these guys because they invested, you know, multiple years into rooting for them, and then they leave. So they want to see how they do. So all the people are like, oh, who cares about Kirk Cousins? Don't even talk about him. Actually, I have like physical and visual evidence to prove to you that people still care about Kirk Cousins. So yeah, that's my spiel. But yeah, I don't know about Kirk Cousins. I think good luck to him when they play the Cowboys, because Mike Zimmer's gonna ruin his day.
That's going to be must see television. Well, he might not play by the time
he might not.
Yeah. Mike Zimmer might find like a way to like make Kirk's life a living hell without him actually playing. I don't know, what was that at all out, a hypodermic needle or something he stabbed into Swerve's jaw? Just like,
yeah,
what are you doing, Mike? It's enough. Like, it's over. It's over. Here's my next overreaction. Happy just learned how to putt. And by that, I mean, Kevin O'Connell has a running
game. What?
I wasn't sold on Aaron Jones, 30 years old. And this is only week one. So you don't know if he's going to be fresh the entire time, but he looked good out there. He had burst, scored a rushing touchdown, which I didn't know was possible. It is funny you mentioned with the speed. Alexander. Yeah, with speed. Like, he got around the corner. Like, it wasn't just a plodding effort just straight up the middle. It is funny because Alexander Mattison did score a rushing touchdown yesterday, and it was a 22-yard speed around the edge.
It was a receiving touchdown.
Oh, it was a receiving touchdown.
Yeah, he caught a swing pass and then ran up the sideline. So it was a pass. It was not a rush.
Okay, I had a parlay, and I was smart because I did anytime TD on sleeper. I don't know if my apologies if FanSided has a official pick'em, but that's the platform I used because it was 4.3 multiplier, which is insane for anything. And I'm just it only takes one play for him to find the end zone. So I said, yeah, I didn't hit the parlay. Thanks, Gus Edwards. But still a fun afternoon.
J.K. Dobbins, did he score?
Yeah, J.K. Dobbins wound up being the lead back there, but I don't know. Win some, lose some, right?
I think on underdog, I think C.J. Ham was like 14.6 multiplier for any time touchdown. Didn't pick him.
Everybody in Duluth, very sad on that one. I would have liked to have seen Aaron Jones get off the field at the end of the game. That's funny. It's like they don't trust Ty Chandler or something. 8 carries for 17 yards, keeping that 2022 draft class alive. But the Vikings have a professional running back in the backfield and an excellent running game. And as you saw on Sunday, it made Sam Darnold's life a lot easier. It sucked attention down. Yep. And there were options open down the field. So I was very impressed with the running game. Again, the Giants are a bad defense against the run last year. They didn't really do much to shore it up. Like, it's Dexter Lawrence and Brian Burns, maybe. I didn't hear his name a lot.
Nope.
So
nope. Did they have Leonard Williams last couple of years and they let him get away?
I think he's with Chicago now.
Yeah. So good job by you, Giants. Good thing you saved money so you could pay Daniel Jones and not pay Saquon Barkley, who he did all right for the Eagles on Friday. He did okay.
I guarantee you in the front office, they're saying he'll get hurt in 3 weeks.
Oh,
like that's what they're telling themselves. They're going, he'll get hurt.
But I don't think that's an overreaction at all. The Vikings running game, I think, is going to be a much bigger factor than it has in years past.
Make no mistake, Trump-backed Bernie Moreno is a MAGA mistake for black families in Ohio.
We're not going to replace racism in this country from decades ago with a new form of racism, which is what DEI is.
If Bernie Moreno is elected senator, he will support the MAGA playbook and implement the thinly disguised Racist Project 2025 agenda. That means ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs that exist to correct the impacts of racism. MAGA extremists like Moreno believe programs that have helped our families are entitlement programs, but they have no problem giving their buddies a boost by passing more tax giveaways for rich folks like themselves. Black Americans like me have worked hard and persevered in fighting for a fair shot. We've come too far to let self-serving extremists like Bernie Moreno take us back. That's why we must re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown. He has fought for equal opportunity for black families and will continue to do so. Go to OhioVoterGuide.org and register by October 7th. Paid for by WinSenate, which is responsible for the content of this ad. WinSenate.org, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just think Aaron Jones is, even on, you know, one leg or whatever, is a much better option than Madison was last year. And I actually like the kind of balance that they had yesterday with Chandler and Jones. Jones had 14 carries and Chandler had 8. So I think that's a good mix of, like, Jones gets, what, 66% and Chandler gets the other 33%. So I think that's a good mix. That's probably what they would prefer moving forward. Just to figure out a way to kind of extend Jones's health throughout the season, because yeah, he's known for getting hurt. But I think next week will be a big test, because they're going against the Niners, and that defense is much better than the Giants. I don't think that's a hot take. I'm curious about tonight's game. Was it the Jets and Niners? I'm curious to see how that goes. Maybe Rodgers will make it to 2 offensive drives this year instead of just 1 last year. But I think the Vikings running game is finally good. I think if certain things hadn't gone their way with other aspects of the team, making Alexander Mattison your RB1 is a fireable offense. That's just terrible roster management to think that he could do that. Like, it's not even, no offense to Madison, he's just not, that's just not his ability or capability. So yeah, the Vikings running game is it's back for at least 1 week. Alrighty, I've got what do I got? I think I have one and a short one, another short one. So okay. I got one right here, which is playing quarterback in the NFL as a rookie, believe it or not, is actually really hard. I know all preseason we heard about Caleb Williams and Bo Nix are going to come in right away and be top 10 quarterbacks in their first season. And turns out they played like rookies, like most of us should have expected. Williams completed 48% of his passes for 93 yards yesterday. He didn't even break 100 against the Titans. The Bears scored 2 touchdowns on Sunday, and neither of them were scored by the offense. They won, by the way, because Will Levis, I don't know what he was doing.
That dude's going and eating mayo after the game.
Yeah, his brain is like, mayo.
I don't know what happened. Oh. Yeah,
That was Nick Mullins-esque what he did yesterday with the pick six. I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah.
Bo Nix was a little better yesterday. He completed 62% of his passes for 138 yards. No touchdown passes. He did rush for one. 2 picks, and he averaged 3.3 yards per attempt. Hey, shout out to Sean Payton for outsmarting the Vikings to trick them into drafting J.J. McCarthy instead of Bo Nix. Thanks, Sean. You really pulled a fast one. As for Commanders rookie quarterback Jaden Daniels, though, he actually did pretty good. He completed 71% of his passes for 184 yards, no interceptions, and he rushed for 88 yards and 2 touchdowns. So, you know, maybe Williams and Nix can turn things around in week one, but they looked like they should. Rookie.
Yeah, I mean, it's not an overreaction at all. That's why Kevin O'Connell had the Karate Kid thing going in with J.J. McCarthy. Mm-hmm. A lot of people said, well, you know, J.J. McCarthy would have started him had he not gotten hurt. I don't think I've heard that too much, but I think people had their hopes up after that Raiders game. The Vikings were never going to start J.J. McCarthy. As a matter of fact, they not might not one, have played man. Him. What's that? Not in week one for sure. No. They might not have played him all year if Sam Darnold plays the way that he did on Sunday. And there's going to be highs and lows with Darnold. They're going to ride him out. But you saw it on Sunday. Some of the rookie quarterbacks, I mean, they got the preseason reps. They got everything. They didn't look great. And I mean, anybody who watched Bo Nix's college tape knows that's who he is. He's a dink and dunk specialist. Eventually, defenses are going to catch on, and he's not going to get anything on his attempts. Somebody compared Bo Nix to 39-year-old Drew Brees. And I think that's a great comparison. Because
weren't people comparing him to prime Drew Brees before the season started?
Yeah. So, like, I don't know, man. I mean, the Broncos, weird vibes everywhere. They got Sean Payton as their head coach. They got Bo Nix, who's like warmed up leftovers, as their quarterback. And then they have those uniforms. I don't think they needed new uniforms, because that Broncos look is pretty cool. You get rid of the side panels and that stuff. I get what they get were rid doing. Of yeah. I mean, there was an easy answer. There was an easy answer to the retro Broncos uniforms. You just go back to what you had with the Elway days, the blue and the deep Bronco, and they got Nike'd.
Well, they could do the modern, like, what's it called? The modern throwback, where I think some teams are doing that now. Who just did that? The Jets. The Jets just did that, right?
Yes.
Some other teams did it too. The Lions kind of did that too. With their uniform.
I like those Lions jerseys, actually.
They're so bright.
Yeah.
Like, it's like too much blue. It's
just with the blue pants, it was too much.
And the blue face mask. Like, it's a lot of Honolulu blue. But yeah, with Bo Nix, I do think the Seahawks defense is good and is going to be good this year.
Playing in Seattle's no joke.
Yes. And they're all healthy right now, you know, week one. So, you know, credit to the and the Broncos almost won. They only lost by like one. They were within a score near the end of the game. I know that. I don't know the final score, but yeah, with the Bears, like, everyone's like, oh, Caleb Williams is going to be the first quarterback to throw over 4,000 yards this year. Dude, can he work on throwing over 100 first? Like, like, and maybe the Titans have a good defense too, but I don't know. Like, did you see what Bill Belichick came out and said about him? About how, like, he didn't think Caleb Williams looked that good in the preseason, because he went like 10 for 20 and everyone else was like, yeah, but he had like some really good plays where he scrambled around and he was like, okay, great. I'm not going to do that every game. So it sounds like Bill Belichick knows what he's talking about, which is weird. And I think that kind of leads into your next, overreaction.
Yeah.
Somebody else who doesn't know what he's talking about or how to talk.
It's all fun and games until Tom Brady comes out of retirement. That's my overreaction. Jordan Love, as you may have saw, goes down on Friday night, which it's humorous to me as a Vikings fan. Obviously, you don't want to see anybody get hurt, even though we did celebrate Aaron Rodgers getting his collarbone crushed by Anthony Barr because Aaron Rodgers is a douche. But Jordan Love's leg twists everywhere like Gumby, and it's an MCL sprain. Meanwhile, J.J. McCarthy goes, man, my knee's a little sore after the game. You want to check it out? You got season-ending surgery. Like, what?
He said, buckled when he was walking down the stairs?
He's like, ooh, this doesn't feel right. And then, do you think his story was a little too convenient about post-surgery, by the way?
Who, J.J.?
He said he underwent surgery and he didn't know what the time to, which is what we heard. But the doctors were like, he was like, how do I know like what it is? And he's like, well, if you have a brace on your leg, it's the full season surgery. If you don't have one, it's just a short one. He's like, okay. So, goes surgery, wakes up, he looks at his leg and he's like, fuck.
Yeah.
He said he couldn't repeat it, but
yeah, kicking the ball.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's not lost on me at all, but Tom Brady was god awful in the broadcast booth on Sunday. For those who have never called a broadcast at all,
sports broadcast, yeah,
I have a degree in broadcast journalism, so I know a thing or two of this. It's a lot harder than you think. It's a lot harder to process information. You only have so much time. At that national level, you have a producer screaming in your ear giving you instructions, like things to talk about. It's very difficult and you have to really compartmentalize it. And I know Brady was an NFL player for all those years where he can process information very quickly, but that's on a football field. This isn't like a broadcast. As a pro wrestling fan, this reminded me of two failed broadcasters, Mike Adamly and Adnan Virk. And he could not complete a sentence. Adamly actually had epilepsy, dementia, and has CTE. So, I mean, I feel bad like bringing him up here because
he's the host of like American Gladiators.
Yeah, he was the host of him, and he was a former Bears running back. I didn't know that. So, that's where he got the CTE from. It's like, and somehow they like know he has it while he's alive. It's kind of a crazy story. So, I mean, back in the day, everybody was like, what's wrong with this guy? And then they look back and they're like, oh man, his brain's like screwed because he played football.
Now they got Tessitore in there. So, you know,
Yeah. I thought he was good on Monday just as a side. I mean, I think he'll get better.
He's a boxing guy too. So,
yeah.
That helps.
He has experience in combat sports. Adnan Virk. They tried him in the Thunderdome a little bit and he kept saying, oh, wow, what a wrestling move. And like Tom Brady on Sunday, one of his quotes that stuck out to me was, it's hard to get 10 yards, but it's even harder to get 20 yards. You think, dude, John Madden was successful because he just made the game simple for people who never watch it. Just like, yeah, and Brett Favre is Brett Favre, Brett Favre, Yeah, I mean, it was just very simple, basic things. And I mean, we're not looking for this, but I mean, there was no enthusiasm. There was no, you have to be entertaining when you talk about this stuff. And it surprised me because Tom Brady on his social media platforms, funny, entertaining, charming. None of that made it up to the broadcast booth. So let's just play a little what if. What if it was just week one jitters? Yeah. Or maybe Tom Brady's like, screw this, man. Maybe he gets a call. Maybe he gets a call from the Green Bay Packers and they say, hey, Jordan's out for 3 to 6 weeks. You wanna come over to Wisconsin? I know your mom used to live in Minnesota. Maybe a little conflicted feelings here, but come over to Green Bay. We'll get you some spotted cow. You can try that with the TB12 diet. I mean, I don't think bratwurst.
Do they have any beer in Wisconsin?
They have a little bit of beer in Wisconsin, yes. But I'm not sure bratwurst fit and cheese curds fit in the TB12 diet. But maybe, you do a little wrong, Tom, every once in a while. Maybe you fill in for Jordan Love a couple of weeks. Then he gets healthy. Then you can give him all that knowledge. And then Jordan Love becomes the all omniscient god of football. And he wins one Super Bowl in 20 years with the Packers. I don't know.
I hope it doesn't happen. Yeah, Brady was not good. When I was watching it yesterday, I was like, it sounds like he's buffering. You know, like when you're watching something and it like skips for like a he'd be like, yeah, well, you see that? He's going to, and then he's going to go a bit. Yeah, it sounded like he was getting cut off.
Somebody said he hadn't stuttered this much since he told Giselle he had one more year in him.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Not.
But didn't this happen with Drew Brees where like NBC thought, oh, here's Drew Brees. He's a quarterback. He knows everything about the like what it's to be a quarterback. He'll be great in the booth, and you get him in the booth and he's terrible. Like, I think an underrated thing about someone who's in the booth is like, I feel like you have to get reps before you get in there most of the time. Like, you look at someone like JJ Redick, who was in an NBA commentator like the last few years. Before that, he had a podcast for like 2 or 3 years, and it was still going last year. So he got all those reps. Like, who cares if anyone was paying attention to him? Just like talk about the NBA and players and stuff, and learn what people like. Where Brady's just going in and just like, it feels like he's, every time he speaks, he's trying to say the best thing he's ever said. And it felt like at times, from what I watched, it sounded like the play-by-play guy, Kevin Burkhart, was kind of just like dragging him along behind him, where his enthusiasm was like up here and Brady's was a little lower. And like you said, it could be nerves, and it probably was. It's this guy's the greatest quarterback ever, but you know, he's human too, and he gets nerves. He knew everyone was going to be listening to him. He knew everyone was going to critique him. But at the same time, then you have someone like Tony Romo, who came on, and he was great, amazing. First, now he's annoying because he just doesn't shut up. But he was great. Greg Olson, he was great. But Fox was like, we got Tom Brady, and now Greg Olson's probably sitting like in his office or whatever, you know, sipping a drink, like, let's see how Tom did today. Looks like people didn't like him. Oh, who could have seen that coming? But yeah, I think sometimes, and networks do this a lot too, not just like with play-by-play, but with like studio analysts too. Like, they just, ESPN just got rid of RG3 and they brought in Jason Kelsey, who I think will do well, actually.
Yeah. Another guy who had a podcast before jumping into this role.
But you know what? Brady actually did a podcast. He did Get Up with Jim Gray and Larry Fitzgerald.
But I never felt like.
But it was more. It was more like question and answer. It was more like an interview. Like, Jim Gray would ask him questions and he would give answers more than Brady just kind of just riffing and giving his own thoughts, where it seemed like it was probably carefully constructed. I'll give it some time. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. It's Tom Brady. I feel like he has enough, and he's someone who, if he knows he did poorly at something, he's going to probably work extra hard this week to do much better next week. Unlike what was it, Jason?
Yeah.
It's terrible. Every week he was on, it got worse.
Who would?
And who unretired to go back to football because he hated announcing so much?
Who would you rather have do color, Tom Brady or Jonathan Vilma?
Oh, Tom Brady. Because at least at least I don't know what's coming with Tom Brady at this point. With Jonathan Vilma, I think he got like half of both teams' names wrong and was talking about how when the Giants were in the red zone, like, this is. And they were down 22 points. Like, this is four down territory. And it's like, yeah, thanks. We really need that remarkable insight that you just gave to us when we already knew that.
Kenny Albert here. I'm going to strangle my color guy when we get off the air.
They're like the odd couple because I think Kenny likes Jonathan Vilma.
Yeah.
Because he knows he's so dumb. But yeah, whenever I see Vilma as one of the announcers for the Vikings, I'm just like, this might be a day where we mute the game. So, that was never an enjoyable experience. And just especially since he was with the Saints and he got suspended for a bounty game.
Do we get a Manning cast tonight, by the way, for week one?
No. And Belichick's on too, I think.
Oh, I remember. He is now. And it's so weird because actually he seems Like, it's weird because, like, you look at Belichick, you're like, dry, boring, whatever. It's like, him and Nick Saban are entertaining. Yeah. Like, how does that work?
He would have been fine just doing, like, one show. He's doing, like, Inside the NFL, Pat McAfee, Manning Cast. He's doing something with Underdog. He's on Insta. Like, dude, you just enjoy life.
Yeah. Maybe that scratches the itch for him.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, all right, I'm still in the game. I'm getting paid a lot.
Maybe that's why he's dating, you know, a girl in college, because he knows they still have a social life, so he wants to make sure he's still active.
Good for him.
Yeah.
Is it your take? I think it's your take.
Okay, I got one last one. It's a short one. It just gets straight to it. But Syracuse is making the 12-team college playoff this year. 2-0.
That's an overreaction.
Ryan McCord. Heisman Trophy. Just beat Georgia Tech. You
probably. They beat Georgia Tech with Sheamus in the house. Did you see that speech he gave him?
What is his association with Georgia?
He was in Dublin Tech beat Florida State.
But he was with them last week, and now he's like their mascot. What's going on?
Yeah, he should be with Notre Dame. Notre Dame could have used Sheamus the other day. Just like
I know Georgia Tech has like an Australian kicker, so I think he's hanging out with him. And I saw that. I was like, why is Sheamus in the carrier? It's not the Carrier Dome anymore, but
yeah,
in Syracuse.
He's just ripping F-bombs left and right. Truth somewhere is like, that's not PG.
Yeah. But like, is he going to go to every Georgia Tech game now? Like, is he it's weird because is he the good luck charm? But yeah, they lost. So maybe he's now, he's like, all right, luck ran out.
All right. I'll rip through these rapid fire and we'll just see. Because I came straight. Some of these, you know, you plan these out and then sometimes they're like really short. And then other times we go on tangents and they get really long. I'm done with Ed Ingram. I've had enough. At one point he had a 0.0 pass blocking grade. He's like the Bluto Blatarski of playing guard. And if you don't know who that is, go Google it. Because Animal House kids, like,
and Garrett
it's like Bradbury old school, but like better. An older version of old school. So yeah.
Can we move on from Garrett Bradbury after this year too, please?
Yes, like, please.
Enough. Every like you want him sitting in JJ McCarthy's lap next year? I don't think.
Keeping the 2022 draft class alive. That's Ed Ingram right now. The best hope might be Taylor Chandler. Yeah, Ty Chandler, everybody's favorite. Sleeper season, Ty Chandler.
Two yards of carry. Nick Muse, too. Yeah.
Nick Muse.
Caleb Evans. Yeah. There's six. Brian Asamoah. They're all there. They're all still there. See? Quasey's like, look, there's still six guys. Not the top two. We're not going to talk about this.
We're not going to talk about the picks that count. Yeah. But Jordan Addison injury, not great. Sounds like it was his opposite ankle that he rolled.
Probably shouldn't have played.
I don't know. I mean, it was the opposite ankle, so I don't know if he's like compensating for it or whatever, but two bad ankles in week one isn't great.
Not as a receiver.
No, not as a receiver at all. I would like to have him for the 49ers game, but I'm not sure we're going to have him. They might just say, hey, take a couple weeks, rest up, you know.
Yeah, it's weak.
Hopefully
it's
you don't get suspended in the middle of the season. Which I don't think suspensions are coming down for anybody, because Rashid Rice is still out there. Tyreek Hill played in a game after he got arrested. Granted, that just seems
right
like a whole bunch
of arrested.
Yeah. He like jumped into the locker room and was just like, all right, I'm good.
That whole thing sounds weird. What's going on with Florida cops and just like arresting people for literally talking?
They arrested Clay Campbell. Clay Campbell's like, hey dude, what are you doing? And they're like, you're under arrest.
Oh, Calais Campbell. Yeah. And he's not small.
No.
That's probably why they arrested, because they were like, because they thought like they heard him talking. And yeah, but they Scotty Scheffler too, wasn't he arrested? Mm-hmm. in Florida? Like, what's going on down there?
I don't know if that, I think that was in Kentucky, but
close.
Yeah.
Rashid Rice wasn't suspended. He's still good. And yeah, Addison's not going to get suspended. They don't typically suspend guys in the middle of the year, I feel like, unless it's like betting related and they just found out.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, you cannot be playing. Speaking of betting, Jameson Williams, is he good?
Yeah.
I don't know. One game. That's an overreaction probably.
That was a pretty good win by the Lions, though. I'll give them credit for that.
They tried to lose.
They did. But they tried to lose. Grit. They're like the successful version of grit. Like the Wild has grit, and they're just
Jared Goff looked very Jared Goff-y last night.
He did.
What did you say? The
Jordan Addison, 49ers. Yeah,
it's week two. If your goal is to make the playoffs, he does not need to play tomorrow. Or next next play tomorrow. He does not need to play.
It's like the baseball season.
Yeah, he does not need to play next Sunday. In a game that. If everything goes right, you can win on Sunday. I don't think Jordan Addison is going to be the difference maker. You still have Justin Jefferson. You still have Aaron Jones. You still have good defense. So I think it's okay if Jordan Addison can't play. Injuries happen. And I think the Niners are like kind of easing Brandon Ayuk in, so he might not even be like a huge factor either. But they say that, and then Mike Shanahan throws to him 15 times. Not Mike. Kyle Shanahan throws to him 15 times tonight probably.
Last one I have on my list. It's time.
Perfect.
Always get out of the camera.
I'm like Justin Tucker.
Yeah. Better. Will Reichard didn't miss a field goal yesterday.
Nope.
You probably acknowledged Will Reichard without even acknowledging him because he made all four extra points. You probably went to the fridge and grabbed a beer and then you're like, oh, we have 7 points. You already acknowledged Will Reichard because you didn't have any concerns. I didn't even notice that he made all four extra points. So good for him. Hasn't attempted a field goal yet. We'll see what happens when that happens. But Will Reichard, man, solid.
So far, so good.
Yeah. So that's all I have. What's going on at the Viking Age, man?
Well, today we're still kind of looking back at what happened on Sunday, trying to figure out what we just went over, where like what's an overreaction and what's not. Probably look around the league too, maybe look in closer to see what happened with Kirk Cousins and some of the reactions to that, because you know people do care. We'll pay attention to tonight's game since the Vikings are playing the Niners on Sunday, and I need it's a win-win scenario, because if the Niners lose, it's good for the Vikings, and if you know Aaron Rodgers lose, it's always good for the Vikings. And then you know. We'll get into looking ahead to week two. You know, this is how things are going. Back in the swing of things. Week two. A lot of good stuff on thevikingage.com. So go check that out. Follow me, Adam Patrick NFL, on Threads and X, you know, if you want to go over there too.
Yeah. You heard his handle, you know mine, at the real Krishad, Instagram, Threads, and X. It's funny how he mentioned that last, but anyway. That's all the time we have for the Viking Age podcast today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're also in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Medical Mutual wants to remind you it's almost time for Medicare's annual enrollment period. As a trusted health insurer for more than 90 years, Medical Mutual is here to help you find better Medicare benefits. Be confident you're getting the most from your Medicare Advantage plan. Schedule your free Medicare plan review today at medmutual.com/review. Medical Mutual, Ohio's hometown Medicare insurer.